Good evening.
Could you stand for a moment? It would really help us tonight. I know what it's like to preach away and have a little bit of a lesser crowd. So if you guys could just kind of fill in the first section of rows, just kind of move forward. You guys on the back. Guys in the balcony, would you come on down? Down here with us. Come on, guys. Fill in right in here in the first maybe half a dozen rows. That'll make it a whole lot nicer on the evangelist. Can the evangelist say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for doing that.
Into your glory.
Cover the mountains, the valleys below, with the breath of your mighty wings. All the treasures of wisdom and things to be known, hidden inside your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. You are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my path. Oh, you are my the breath of your desire. Where could I run? Where could I hide from your heart's jealous fire? All the treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. When this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my future and my pride.
surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. Thank you.
Come on, I wonder if I could just get a few people in a Husky tonight to realize that the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Come on. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but the Bible says that Paul told Timothy he's given you the power, the love, and the soundness of mind. Can I get a few people tonight just to lift your hands and cry out to the Lord and say, God, thank you for winning the battle for me. Thank you for fighting my battles. Thank you for declaring that I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through you who gave your life for me. Come on, sing it again. He's our champion. Together for the Lord. Come on. Shout unto God, all ye people. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Come on. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Let the Lord know you love Him. You appreciate Him, and He is your champion. Father, we thank you tonight that we can come together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the church. Thank you that even in this challenging time, God, there's still folk who say, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can come together tonight. Lord, we welcome an online audience to join us from all over the place, God, to worship the Lord, to hear from His servant tonight what God has laid upon his heart. We pray right now, Lord, the fire of the Holy Spirit would envelop him, would carry him, would speak through him, would speak to his heart and his spirit, God, the things, thus saith the Lord, for your people. Release spiritual gifts tonight, prophetic gifting. Release healing tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, over your people tonight. God, we need you. We trust you. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord, who's a strong tower. And the word says the righteous run to him, and they are safe. Come on, if you feel safe tonight, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you turn and just wave at somebody in the pews? Would you do that? Turn and greet somebody with a smile, not a holy kiss. Come on. Just a smile, not a holy kiss. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't want to waste the man of God's time, and we want you to be sure and come back every night, so we're just not going to fill the service with extra stuff. Would you put your hands together for our great friend, Doug Echols? Welcome him back tonight.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm believing for miracles. Are you believing for miracles? You know, if we'll agree together, something great will happen. And, I was just kind of thinking there, if you're watching by Facebook Live or live streaming, put your comment in there. At the end of this service, Pastor and I, we're going to pray together for the needs that we see on there, all right? So get on there and do that. And I'm not talking about you that are here. I'm talking about, you know, some of you don't want to come to the altar. I guess you can send yours in too, I guess. But praise the Lord. I was talking about how it's been very difficult to travel out of the country, but I heard today some good news that they're not going to quarantine people when they come back now, so now it looks like I can go. I just didn't want to stay in a hotel for 14 days and not do anything, but I think things are getting ready to open back up. And then all this time, there's a lot of times I didn't do some things because I was too busy or something. But, you know, the Lord's opened up doors. We've done Zoom in India. We've done Zoom in Pakistan. We've done meetings all over the world that have got us new friends. Today I was talking to a guy in Pakistan, and I know of him. He's connected with some really good ministers, and I was telling him, well, you know, I've been to Pakistan. I was kind of bragging. I said, I had like 40,000 in a meeting. He said, oh, that's good. He said, our last meeting in January, we had over 400,000. So, but the good thing is I'm meeting with him in about a week. He's going to be in Tulsa. So I'm believing the Lord that we'll just begin to do bigger and better things. You know, the Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher, and how do they go unless they're sent? And, you know, when we have 40,000 out for a crusade, we have to rent the soccer stadium. We have to have all kinds of security there at Pakistan. But, you know, if you have 100,000 or 400,000, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take more money. It's not going to take me preaching any harder. If we had every row filled, I could still preach the same way I'm going to preach tonight. It wouldn't make any difference. But you know what? When you get more people, you got to have more sound and you do a lot of more things. But I'm going to believe the Lord that people are going to help us because, you know, together we can impact the nations of the world. I know that I was thinking about some of the water wells, and those have been going very well, but I read something today as I was reading my Bible that in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You realize that when you give a water well and somebody gets a drink of water out of it, boom, reward. Boom, reward. How many know when God rewards you, you'll know you've been rewarded? And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But he said you'll not lose your reward. Now, think about that a little bit. Some of these wells, you might get several hundred people that drink out of them. But that well that we've got on the mountain now is going to 7,000 people. How many cups of water are coming out of that every day? Every day, I just feel like I'm getting blessed more and more. And our partners are getting blessed more and more. And people that have helped us are getting blessed more and more because I believe the Bible. And he said, you'll not lose your reward. Amen. So I want you to get involved in what we're doing. If you want to help us with a water well, one water well is $1,500. If you want to expand one and make it go with a tank and some other things, we're probably going to be about $5,000 to get it to different people, but we'll get thousands of people water. You can help us. But I believe not everybody can do that, but somebody can. And then, besides that, you know, if we all did something, we could do something together better than we can do by ourselves. So everybody get involved. Watch just a one-minute video here. If you clip your nails, you'll miss it all. So pay attention here, and then Pastor's going to come and receive an offering. Praise the Lord. We got to tell somebody the good news of Jesus Christ. We got to tell them that no longer do you have to go to hell, but you can be saved. No longer do you have to fear tomorrow, but you can have hope for tomorrow to be better than today. This is the good news. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. As I'm talking, would you just randomly just come and drop your offering in the bucket? We won't pull our team back up here to play or anything. But if the Holy Spirit's just speaking to you, come on, just drop your funds here in the buckets as we're talking. I want to tell you a story about how I got a firsthand experience in the value of water on the foreign field. In 1994, Pastor Joy and I went to India for the first time. Some of y'all missed that. I said, come on and bring your money, okay? Amen. I was serious. I wasn't kidding, all right? So just come on now and give your offering. I know you're used to organ music and pipe organs and all that stuff while the music's going. We can give without music, amen? Come on, we can give without music. So in 94, I was in India for 2 weeks, and as fate would have it, I lost my luggage in Switzerland. It never got to Mumbai, where I landed. It never got there. And so Pastor Joy and I went 4 days without a bath, 4 days without a shower, 4 days without a change of clothes. I mean, you can turn them wrong side out and put them back on, they're still bad. Come on, somebody. So 4 days we were without fresh clothes and everything. And we're a little bit larger, just a tad larger than Indian folk. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, come on, just, you know, we're just a tad larger. So We finally checked into the hotel, and we were staying in just for a day or so before we linked up with the missionaries. And I remember all the schooling and all the lessons that don't drink the water, don't drink the water. And I was so excited about the shower, I kept my mouth completely sealed while I was in the shower. And I didn't realize we were working on gravity-fed tank on the top of the house. And so I run the whole barrel out with my shower. And then when I brushed my teeth, I forgot, and I stuck my brush under their faucet. And the doctors told me when I got my shots, injections to travel, they said, listen now, one amoeba, all it takes is one amoeba to get into your system, and you can be deathly sick. Well, guess what Pastor Wallace got? Deathly sick because I brushed my teeth. So the value of water is just, there's no way to describe the value of clean water. Some people watch people who've been destined by God to put wells in foreign countries. Yeah, another water well. No, it's not another water well. It's literally life for those who need it. So thank you. If you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you this week about, you know, digging a water well, maybe you say, well, you know, I can do a half a well or something. Just look around and get the boldness to go up and ask somebody if they could do the other half. Come on. Amen. And all they can say is yes or no, right? Or maybe two or three people. Maybe three people can do a well, 500 apiece. So, you know, we think nothing about it when we go to Walmart or Sam's Club and load our baskets up with things for us. But how about those who are suffering without the blessing and the necessity of clean water? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for more wells. We just thank you for more wells to be dug in your name. And not only the natural water, Lord, but that the flow of the spiritual, the living water, would be increased in Haiti. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said a hearty amen. Speaking of hearty, thank you, Chris Hardy, for helping us on the worship team tonight. We appreciate that.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for your sowing into the kingdom of God. How many know you reap what you sow? And, you know, so we were talking about that one day, and, you know, we have literally paid for thousands of meals for people to eat, you know, not just overseas, but I like to pay the bill, okay? And you know what I find is I always have enough money for food. And I've given away clothes. I got preachers all over Haiti wearing my suits. And I usually, you know, if I'd rather give them one I hadn't worn, but I usually can't take that much. So I just wear one and give it away, and wear another one, give it away, wear another one. And you know what? When there comes time to buy clothes, I always have money for clothes. And my family's never went out, because the law of sowing and reaping, it works. Amen. So what you've done tonight, God will bless you. If you sow much, you'll reap much. You sow a little, you'll reap a little. But if you sow nothing, nothing. Oops. But that's how it goes. Praise the Lord. Stand with me tonight. I appreciate the pastor so very much, and his wife, and appreciate their hunger for God. And I'm glad that we got to be friends, and looking forward to what God's going to do in our lives. But I believe for Carpenter Shop International, the best is yet to come. How many believe that? Amen. The best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. All right, Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Normally we would read this at Christmas time, but the Bible's good all the time, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Amen? Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing that is in this place. Lord, we join our anointing, and we believe that corporate anointing is even greater in this place than the individual. Lord, we believe that this is the place of miracles. We are believing for miracles. We are trusting you, Lord, to do great and mighty things. And we call on your name now. And that name that is above every name, Lord, we know that that is a powerful name. And Lord, tonight we thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are moving in this place, that we might profit by their manifestation in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody before you're seated, you can get anywhere from nowhere with God. Come on, you can get anywhere from nowhere with God, and you can be seated. Praise the Lord. How many believe that tonight? Praise God. Well, I thank you for your sowing into the kingdom of God. Thank you for being here. Invite somebody. If you're going to be looking on your phone, share the thing anyway. You're going to be looking at Facebook while I'm preaching anyway. You might as well share the stream, all right? And, I know nobody does that in church, but we do. So sad but true. But if you're watching, put something in the comments so we know you're watching. And then if you have a prayer request, put it in there. We'll pray for you at the close. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The word sign there is really, in the Hebrew, the word miracle. So the Lord himself will give you a miracle. Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the evangelist, not your neighbor, but the Lord himself will give you a miracle, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel is the word El, which means eternal one. How many understand that what God did in the past, he still does today? God never changes, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God and Jesus are the same, then the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. I believe that he's moving in this place tonight. He abides in us. And I say tonight, if he's in you, stir him up. Stir up the gift of God within you. But tonight I'm going to say it very clear that Jesus is your miracle. And when I say that, it almost, people in church kind of get that sleepy look, and it's almost like a neon sign comes on everybody's forehead. Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm bored, you know, and they get sleepy. But really the truth is, Jesus is your miracle. Everything about Jesus is a miracle. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, all these things are a miracle, but Jesus is our miracle. But let's make it even more personal tonight. I believe we need to get ready tonight for a divine visitation. We need Him to come in our home. We need Him to come in our workplace. We need Him to come into our school. But most of all tonight, we invite Him into the church. And the Lord wants to get near to all of us tonight. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I'm stepping into a season of miracles. Look to your neighbor and say that right now. I'm stepping into a season of miracles. Look to Isaiah chapter 35. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. Then the eyes, this is for me. Everybody say, this is for me. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. See, I believe in your lonely, dry place that something's going to happen tonight. That in your lonely, dry place that there is a miracle for you tonight. I'm trying to get you to expect something tonight. Because I believe the difference in you going home and saying, well, not much happened, has to do with your expectancy. And I believe it can change just like that. I believe that in your lonely, dry place that the Lord is going to show up on your behalf. I was preaching over, and the man I'm talking about, I got permission to tell his story. He's from church over in Elizabeth City. And I had never been to this church for revival before. This has been maybe 10 years ago or so. And the first time I was there for revival, I don't know if you're a visitor or if you are a regular attender. Are you understanding that? So I saw a guy sitting on the second row, and he was sitting by an old lady. This old lady happened to be 90, okay? When you're 90, you can brag about it. When you're my age, you don't like to talk about it. All right? But he was sitting by his mother on the second row the day I was there. And I did not know that he was really a visitor to the church. He had not been to church since he was 12 years old. When he was 12, his father said to him, you're a man now, you can decide if you want to go to church. Well, if that's true, then he ought to be able to decide if he wants to drive a car and if he wants to vote and if he wants to go to school. So that really wasn't true. But here's a man that said he hadn't been to church and in a long time. I think it was 41 or 42 years he had not been to church. But he came 2 weeks before I started revival. The revival started 2 weeks after Mother's Day. His mother had invited him to church on Mother's Day, her 90th year of living, so she put the screws on him. She said, this could be my last Mother's Day. Would you please come to church? Well, he said, Mom, you know I don't go to church. She said, well, your brother is coming. And he said, he's coming? Well, then I'll come. How many know there's something about sibling rivalry? And at 90 years old on that Mother's Day, her son had not been into church for 41, 42 years, came and sat by his mother. He said, I have not had an hour and a half of peace like I had that day. So he came back the next week. The next week he came back to church and he told his wife she needed to come with him. She said, no, you're crazy. I'm going shopping at Walmart. Now, you got to understand, this man, Mike Anderson, he told me that every day he was drunk by noon. Every day he smoked dope. He would go to the strip club 3 times a week. He said, I would have went more if I had more money. He said that pretty much every word out of his mouth was a foul word or a dirty story. He said, I came back to church because I had peace again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The third week he came back, I was in revival. I did not know. I gave an invitation, and one of the first guys to come down was Mike Anderson with his wife. She came with him that day. He did not tell me this for 3 years. After 3 years, he came to me and said, you don't know what happened to me in revival 3 years ago. Now it's been about 10 years. He said, but 3 years ago, he said, I smoked dope every day. I was drunk by noon. I told dirty stories, went to the strip club. He said, but I came to the altar that day that you were preaching revival. And he said, old things passed away and all things have become new. He said, I haven't had anything to drink in 3 years. I haven't smoked any dope for 3 years. He said, I haven't told a dirty story or went to a strip club in 3 years. How many know that's how the gospel's supposed to work? And that day, Mike Anderson had his miracle. Jesus came into his life, but his mother, 90 years old, had been praying for him for 41, 42 years. She had her miracle. She was in a dry and a lonely place, but that day, she got her miracle. I believe somebody here tonight that you have a son or daughter far, far away. I believe don't quit praying for them. Don't stop praying. It might have been 40 years, but pray on 41. Pray 42. I'm going to tell you something. The word of the Lord will not return void. It says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Your children shall be saved. Do you believe that here tonight? A miracle. When I go through the Bible, how many know the Bible is a book of miracles? If you don't believe in miracles, then you can't believe the Bible. But a lot of people read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Like you kiss the frog and it becomes a prince. How many understand that's not how you read the Bible? This Bible is real. It begins with miracles. There's an old couple in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah. He's 100 and she's 90. And he comes to her one day and he says, hey, look, honey. He probably is one of those guys, calls his wife woman. He says, hey, woman. He goes, we are going to have a baby. He said, the stork's coming. She's a little hard hearing. She said, what? The dork's coming? No, never mind. She didn't get it. I don't know why I said that, but that's okay. That's the best thing I had right then. But you think about this. We read it and we go, oh, yeah, that's Bible days. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I live in Oklahoma. We don't have people 190 having babies. People in Arkansas are not having babies at 190, all right? Are you understanding me? Country folks do not have babies at 190. This woman is 40 years past menopause. Do you understand? And yet he believed and he was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. How many understand if you are strong in faith, you will give glory to God? It does not mean everything's going your way tonight if you give glory to God and praise Him. See, anybody can praise. This morning, I was watching The Price is Right. And you know what? They will praise on that show, and it has nothing to do with the Lord. Come on down. You're going to get a new Ford. You know, and everybody gets happy. But I'm going to tell you something. In church, it ought not be, well, I had the greatest day of my life today. That's why I'm praising. No, I'm going to tell you, some of you had some stuff you went through. Some of you got some trouble. But the people that can see that God is going to deliver them and bring them out and give them a miracle, they're the people that give glory to God, strong in faith. The miracle happens. They have a baby. At 190. Woo. Man. They're using Social Security checks to pay the obstetrician. And then the miracle doesn't stop there. Here's an old lady that is able to nurse her own baby. This is miracles. But we read it and we say, oh, no, well, I don't know anything about miracles. I want to tell you, the Bible's full of miracles like the Red Sea parting and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and in the middle of it. The king, he's looking. He said, we threw three in, but I see four. And he's going, one, two, three, four. But when they came out, there's another miracle. They did not even smell like smoke. I can't even go into the duck through without smelling like smoke. Come on, this is good preaching right here. I went in there yesterday before church and I thought, man, I'm going to come in and everybody's going to think I have a nicotine problem. But listen, everything about this Bible is a miracle. Pentecost is a miracle. Divided tongues of fire, a rushing mighty wind. That divided tongues of fire, think about that. There were tongues of fire for everyone. Everyone there is a Jew. And now they've got tongues of fire over everybody's head. And that was significant to them because they knew that in the wilderness it was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God led them through the wilderness. And now there's individual fire. And while they went through the wilderness, they were carrying around the presence of God in a box. And that box had fire over it. And everywhere they went, God was in that box. But now that when the Holy Ghost fell in the book of Acts, now everybody had fire over them. There was fire for every person. God was no longer in a box, but He's on the inside of you. And it is a miracle. Tonight, it's a miracle. Listen, what can a miracle do? And what can a miracle do for you? And what can a miracle do for your family? And what can a miracle do for the church? Let's talk about miracles for a minute tonight. Number one, a miracle can instantly turn something bad to something good. A miracle can instantly turn something bad to something good. Now let's talk about Luke chapter 5. Remember, Simon Peter had gone fishing all night, and he'd caught nothing, okay? Now, how many understand, if you're a professional fisherman, you catch nothing, that's a bad day. It means you're not going to make any money. Now, I'm an amateur fisherman. If I go fishing and catch nothing, it doesn't even really matter, all right? Last time I went fishing, I don't go very often, but I have lots of gear. Because everywhere I go, I have to buy it, and then I bring it home, you know. And then and finally, the other day, somebody was having a missions garage sale. I just gave them all my gear. I just figured I'm going to buy new when I go out anyway. Because I won't be home. You know, because if somebody invited me here, I'd have to go buy gear. Okay, so last time I went fishing, I go with one of my buddies, and he's a policeman. So we go fishing, and my first cast, my reel goes out in the middle of the lake. Okay? My second cast, I catch a tree, and when I yank, my pole breaks in half. Okay? And it went downhill from there. So we weren't catching anything, but, you know, because he's a policeman, he opens up his truck in the back, and there's every gun you can imagine. Okay? So we're going to shoot. We're shooting turtles. Because turtles eat the fish. Okay, so if you're a turtle activist, I'm sorry for you. Okay? We're not killing sea turtles, okay? Just turtles that eat all the fish in a pond. I don't know. I felt a little blowback from that. So I was trying to, you know, be politically correct. We missed them all anyway. Okay, that's why. Then we started, you know, we're out on a farm, and there's an old dead cow's head. We put it on the fence post, and we're using an AK-47. We're just having fun, wasting ammo. That's how our fishing day went. And after we ran out of ammo, we were done fishing. And I said, hey, there's a world-famous chicken place about 30 minutes from here. Let's go. So our day was still good. We had a good day. But if that was my living, we would have made no money. It would be like a teacher having no one to teach. It'd be like a construction worker with nothing to build. Are you understanding me? A salesman with nothing to sell. Peter fished all night and caught nothing. But the Bible talks about this. Jesus is there, and he's backing up to the Sea of Galilee because a big crowd is pushing on him. And he's getting closer and closer to the edge of that water. And when he gets to the edge, there's two boats there. One of them belongs to Simon Peter. One belongs to another fisherman that we don't know his name. But they're cleaning their nets because they've given up for the day. They're done. They've had a bad night. And Jesus steps into Simon Peter's boat and pushes it out and preaches out of it. And when he's done, he comes back to Simon Peter and he says, hey, go out to the deepest part of the lake, and there you're going to find, if you'll throw out your net, you're going to bring in a load of fish. Now think about this. He's had a bad night. He could have said, look, Jesus, you're crazy. Now, first of all, the Sea of Galilee, they still fish. But if they fish, I asked the fishermen, where are the fish? The fish are, I said, are they in the deepest part of the lake where Jesus said to go fish? He said, there's no fish out there. He said, the fish are over near a natural spring where warm water comes up, and that's where all the fishermen fish. And I said, so really what you're saying, it would be very unlikely to catch a big amount of fish in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He said, exactly, there's no fish out there. So there's a miracle that takes place. The miracle is that, listen, I'll say it like this. I think I said something like this already. But when Jesus thanks you, you will know that you have been thanked. Here he's borrowed Simon Peter's boat, and now he's thanking him. I'm going to tell you, some of you have blessed the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, there's a thanks coming, and you will know that you have been thanked. It filled both ships. I was preaching in Blue Well, West Virginia. That's like out in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, Bluefield is like 30 minutes away, and the people from Bluefield don't know where Blue Well is. And I'm preaching at a church that has more people than the town. All right? The town is less than 300. The church runs over 300. And I was there the first week of May. Not this year, but when I was preaching there that time. And the first week of May, they said, we want you to come that week because there will not be any snow. Famous last words. I woke up on Sunday morning, looked out my window of the Hampton Inn there, and there was 14 inches of snow on the ground. Pastor called me, he said, look, if you weren't here, we'd cancel church. But we told people if they can come safely to come. I got there, and instead of having a really good crowd, we had 14 people there, one for every inch of snow. So I preached that morning, and while I'm preaching, the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord says, stop what you're doing. There's a woman sitting on the aisle wearing a red dress. He said, stop what you're doing and give her a word. Well, I start arguing with the Lord. Now, I'm not doing it out loud. If you do it out loud, you should probably push a cart around town. Are you understanding that? We're not making fun of them, but some people are crazy. Man, I am getting myself in a lot of trouble tonight. Turtles and crazy, and pretty soon we're going to have to shut down. Okay, but anyway, I'm arguing with the Lord. Lord, I am giving her, here's what I said in my mind. I'm saying, Lord, I am giving her word. I'm preaching. You know, like he doesn't know that. But how many found out you can't fight God and win? Your arms are not long enough. I knew what he meant. He was saying, stop what you're doing and give her one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, He's wanting me to speak into her life. And here I am. I said, okay, God, I'll do it, but you got to give me the word. He said, no, stop what you're doing and I'll give you the word. I said, I'll stop what I'm doing when you give me the word. It's like two second graders on the play, on recess. Am two, am not, are not, am two, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's how it was going. Finally, I just said, okay. I stopped what I'm doing and I'm waiting. And it got kind of nervous, you know. I got a little nervous because I still don't have a word. But I said, ma'am in the red dress, would you please stand up? When she stood up, I noticed she's pregnant. I found out she was 6 months pregnant at the time. But when I have her stand up, I don't have anything to give her. I'm like. And you know what we do in Pentecostal church when we don't know what to do? Hey, can you sing that song again? I'm getting ready to go into singing, all right? I'm getting ready to sing because I don't know what to do, all right? But all of a sudden, the Lord gives me a word, and it wasn't very profound. I wanted it to be more profound. All I got was, you have been given a terrible report, but the Lord's turning it around. That's it. I like it to be more profound. And the lady was noticeably blessed. But I just went on preaching, got to the end. The pastor met me in the foyer. He said, you don't know what you said today, do you? I said, well, you know, she's been given a terrible report. He said, you don't know how bad of a report. She's 6 months pregnant, but they've been running tests on her baby. And they say that the baby has Down syndrome and not just something that would be normal, all right? We're talking about maybe the child might live. The numbers were so bad, the child might live a minute or two and then it will pass when it's born. And it's so bad that the mother is in jeopardy. And so they're giving her this news. You need to abort the baby. Bad. She gets a word from God. 3 months later, I get a phone call from the pastor, Pastor Bird. Pastor calls me. He said, Doug, I'm at the hospital. That lady that you prophesied over just had a baby. And I'm going to tell you, the baby is perfectly normal. The mom is healthy, and I've held the baby in my arms. I'm going to tell you that everything is all right. How many know a miracle can instantly turn something bad to something good? See, tonight, I believe God is taking somebody from the valley to the mountaintop tonight. This is your night for a miracle. Somebody say amen. Number two, a miracle can take something good to something unusually better. A miracle can take something good to something unusually better. You know, I don't know, but there are a few people, you ask them, how you doing? Well, not very good, but the truth is you're breathing. How many understand, not everything is bad in your life. You can have 10 things bad, but at least you're living. You made it to the house of God. So we sometimes, but he can take your good and make it unusually better. In John chapter 6, there's a little boy that he's there when Jesus again is speaking to the multitude, and the disciples are saying, hey, everybody's hungry here. And yet there's nowhere for these people to eat. And we don't have food for them. And if we did have food to get, we don't have enough money for it. And one of the disciples said, but there's a little boy here. He's got 5 loaves, 2 fish. Right? He's got 5 loaves and 2 little fish. I read about those little fish. They're like smoked fish that make you be able to swallow the bread that was so dry. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, you think about this. A little boy. You think he got up in the morning and he's like, I'll put on a pot of coffee and I think I'll make my lunch. No, you know what? He had a mama's made lunch. Probably when he left that morning, mama said, take your lunch with you. You know, my girls, they're 21 and 24 now, but they went to public school and their mom made them a lunch every day. Like crazy. made them a nice lunch every day. And one day, Lori usually took the girls to school. I usually would, if I had to, I'd pick them up. Everybody getting this, you know? I don't even know if I should say this, but we have a little saying in our house: it sucks to be the mom. Or King James, sucketh. Man, I am getting myself in trouble from the pulpit here tonight. All right, but because it's hard to be the mom. It's easy to be the dad. All right, whatever. It's hard to... Okay, so one morning I got to take Lily to school. And the last thing my wife said to me is, make sure she doesn't forget her lunch. I said, no problem. So I'm halfway to school, and I say, Lily, did you bring your lunch? She says, yeah, it's right here. I said, what's in that lunch? What does mom make you? I don't even know what she makes, all right? I'm not a morning person. I like the night, all right? So she opens that bag, and she pulls out a napkin that is for the season of the year. It's like if it's Valentine's, it has a heart. I said, does your mom give you like a special napkin? She says, whatever, if it's Christmas, it's a Christmas napkin. If it's Thanksgiving, it's a Thanksgiving napkin. I mean, she puts some thought and love into that. I said, what else is in there? Oh, hummus. I said, who eats hummus? We'd have beat up kids that brought hummus to school when I went. I said, and you got like pita chips and a sandwich cut kind of into a hat and fruit all made nice. I said, does your mom do that every day? They say every day. But a mom's made lunch has some love. This little boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish, it has some love. It's good. All right? I'm going to tell you a little more about that. Jesus takes that lunch and he blesses it. How many know he can take your good and make it unusually better? Whatever's good in your life tonight can become better. What you have can become an abundant source of supply for others. Barely enough can quickly become more than enough when Jesus blesses your good. How many know that God can bring you a miracle and make your good even better tonight? Folks, we need to believe bigger. Now, let me tell you how that works. When I got back home, Lori had an appointment of some kind, and when she got back about 11:30, she said, did you take Lily to school? Yeah, yes, I did. How about the lunch? Yep, she had it. I said, Lori, what are we having for lunch? She said, there's some bologna in the fridge. Knock yourself out. Now, if I'd have went to my mama's house, my mama would have made me a lunch. I'm just messing around a little bit. Number 3, let's go on, all right? Let's still talking about miracles. A miracle can turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. How many understand there's a wedding that happened in Cana of Galilee? Jesus' mother is part of the wedding. Evidently, she's connected to the family. Because at that wedding, they run out of wine. All right, now, something I got to say about this. Don't get mad at me. I'm already dug myself a big hole tonight on everything I've said. But here is this. A wedding is ordinary. And how is it ordinary? Somebody had a wedding in Ahoskie over the weekend. Somebody got married in North Carolina every weekend, all right? So they're ordinary because you have so many. And unless you're part of the royal family, probably your wedding was similar to somebody else's. Okay, is everybody still happy here? Not mad at me over that? But here they are at a wedding. But a wedding wasn't like they are in America. America, you know, we do about an 45-minute wedding where we invite God, and then we have about a 4-hour party afterwards where we invite the devil. Okay. I'm preaching good tonight. But here they are, they've run out of wine, and his mother looked at him and said, hey, look, they've run out of wine. You got to do something. He said, it is not my time. But somehow she convinced him, and he turns the water into wine. She says, now do whatever he says to do. How many understand that Mary, the mother of Jesus, Nike has those shirts, just do it. They owe her royalties because she just said to them, just do it. Whatever he says, do, do it. And he turns the water into wine. How many understand your obedience in one place can bring a miracle in another place? Listen, we see here, he turned the water into wine. The wedding was ordinary. Water's ordinary unless you don't have any. But that miracle, he turned the ordinary into something extraordinary. And the Bible said this was the beginning of miracles. Didn't say it was the only miracle. Didn't say it was the last miracles. But tonight, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the miracle worker. Amen? He'll still bring and turn your ordinary to something extraordinary. Even Acts 5:32 talks about obedience. He said he'll give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, just be obedient. You'll receive. When my wife was growing up, she grew up Catholic. Her mom was not Catholic, but her dad was. And her mother had gotten saved. And it's a great story how her mom got saved. And they started attending an Assemblies of God church in Michigan. And Lori didn't like it because she was used to, you know, going to church and it lasts about 45 minutes and they'd be done. And she'd come to the Pentecostal church and you never knew when you were going to get done, you know. But her and her mom, she'd gotten saved, but her and her mom were fighting. How many understand, even if you're saved, you can get in a fight with your kids? All right, don't act like, only our family does that? Oh, I guess we're different. Okay, but her and her mom had gotten a fight on the way to church. And that morning they had an evangelist come, and when he gave the invitation, he said, there's somebody here that's got a broken relationship. Something's not going right with your family. Lori came to the altar for getting prayed for, and when he laid hands on her, she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. So you get obedient, you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. Let me finish with this. Number four, miracles can reverse the irreversible. A miracle can reverse the irreversible. See, we hear things like it's only going to get worse. We hear things that maybe your child cannot learn, or they're closing down your plant, they're shutting down your job. But how many know a miracle can reverse the irreversible? In John chapter 11, the word comes to Jesus through the sisters of Lazarus that Lazarus is sick. But they didn't say it like that. They said, the one you love is sick. They're trying to manipulate Jesus. How many know he does not need to be manipulated? He is full of compassion. All right, but they know him, but they really didn't know him. And Jesus, we read that story, and it's a little confusing, but Jesus doesn't leave where he's at, even though Lazarus is sick for two more days before he leaves. By the time he gets there, Lazarus is 4 days dead. All right? Remember this story? Lazarus is dead, but why doesn't Jesus leave? Well, the town that Lazarus is at, they want to kill Jesus because he has said he is God. And by the way, he is God. And they didn't like it. So because he said he's God, they want to kill him. But he goes back, and when he gets there, everybody's mourning the loss of Lazarus, and they're all thinking, and some of them are saying, if only Jesus would have been here. He's 4 days late by the time he shows up. I believe that the King James said that by this time he stinketh. That's one of my favorite words in the Bible, stinketh. He's 4 days dead. Now, they say he's 4 days dead. He's already talked to one of the sisters and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And she said, yeah, I know someday there'll be a resurrection. There's a lot of people in church just like that. Someday I'll get a miracle. And then there are others that are just the opposite. Well, he used to do miracles. But I'm going to tell you, when he said, I am, he is what you need right now. I'm telling you, Jesus is available for your miracle tonight. If you believe it, say amen. But they said he's 4 days dead. He goes out to the graveyard. Now, I don't know what the difference between 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 days dead. If you're 1 minute dead, you're dead. But they were saying he is too dead. It's too late. How many would, I'm going to say it like this. You're never too dead for a resurrection. Man, that ought, tell your neighbor that right now. You're never too dead for a resurrection. See, the doctor says, well, you're going to be on that medicine until you die. And it's going to be, we're going to up the dosage as you get older. Just be prepared. You're going to lose your eyesight. We might have to cut off a foot. I mean, you know, they say all this stuff. They're just practicing medicine, folks. Jesus is medicine. Jesus, he steps up and he says, hey, Lazarus, come forth. And the grave clothes came off and he's alive. I'm telling you something tonight. You're never too dead for a resurrection. I don't know what they've told you. I don't know what the bank has said. I don't know what the realtor has said. I don't know what they said at school. I don't know what the family tradition is. But I'm going to say again, you're never too dead for a resurrection. I'm going to tell a story I didn't mean to tell, okay? When I was born, I was born with a cleft palate. I had a hole in the roof of my mouth. My lip did not meet in the front. And I will tell you, the day I was born, my parents' dream died. You see what I mean? I did not know this, but I was about 30 years old, and I was invited to be on the Richard Roberts television program. Because when I was born, my parents did not believe the report of the doctor that said that I would have to have some kind of hearing apparatus to hear, and I would have to have some kind of speech therapy. I'm going to tell you, if you don't like how I talk, this is how an Okie talks, and I don't have problems hearing unless my wife asks me to do something I don't want to do. All right? But I was healed in an Oral Roberts tent meeting when I was 2 months of age. And my parents told me about that. I always knew about that. But I'd been preaching maybe more than 10 years when I was on Richard Roberts' program. They wanted me to talk about his dad praying for me in Mansfield, Ohio at a tent meeting. And so before I went on air, I had called my dad. I said, Dad, if you got anything, write it down if you can remember. I want to look like I know what I'm talking about. You know, I was only 2 months of age, you know, so some of the details are a little sketchy for me. Some of you don't even remember what you had for lunch today, so you know how that goes. So he sent me a pack, and in that pack was about 20 pages handwritten. Talked about when I was born, what the doctor said, and there was pictures, and there was doctor's reports, but in there was a envelope from the Division of Foreign Missions Department of the Assemblies of God. And it wasn't addressed to me. My name is William Douglas, but my dad is William Roberts. It was addressed to William R. Eccles. And I thought it got in that package by mistake, but I opened it up, and I began to read the letter. It said, Dear Brother and Sister Eccles, we're sorry to hear about your son. They're talking about me. We understand because of complications at his birth that you will not be going to the Congo to be missionaries as planned. I'm like, what? I had never heard this. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my early 30s. My parents had never told me they had a dream to be missionaries to the Congo. So I called my sister, Debbie, the one that slides under the table. I said, Debbie, what's this deal about Mom and Dad going to be missionaries to the Congo in Africa? She said, thank God you were born the way you were born, or we'd have had to live in Africa. Now listen, don't think that we don't love the world. But in those days, missionary kids didn't live with their parents. And they go to a boarding school. She said, we'd have had to live in a boarding school away from Mom and Dad. And she loves her mom and dad. Okay, so if you thought I was making a crack about Africa, I was not. I've been there more than probably everybody in here, so I love Africa. But listen, she said, Mom and Dad, because the way you were born, we didn't go. I called my dad, and he said, yeah, we didn't want you to feel like you messed up our dream. Our dream was to go to Africa. The day I was born, their dream died. He said to me, but what the devil meant for bad, God turned for good. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers say that, but I've never heard that come out of my dad's mouth. I said, what do you mean what the devil meant for bad, God turned for good? He said, well, during that time that we would have been there, we had already itinerated, raised all of our money to be missionaries. We were going to go there and we were going to work under a missionary by the name of Tucker, Brother Tucker. And we were going there and we would have lived on the compound where he lived. He said, during that time, the Congo was having a revolution. Communists were trying to take over that country and ruin that country. He said, we would have been there, but the rebels came in and took the missionary, Brother Tucker, and fed him to the crocodiles. He said, what the devil meant for bad, God turned for good. I'm going to tell you something. I said, you're never too dead for a resurrection. My mom and dad have never stepped on the continent of Africa. But I'm going to tell you, through their son, I have been all over Africa preaching. I preached for several years on shortwave radio and gave an invitation all over Africa every day. And we saw thousands of people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know what the devil meant for bad, God can turn for good? These are the days of miracles. I don't know what's happened, but I'm going to tell you, these are the days of resurrection power. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. That's miracle working power today. Let me say this and I'm done. All right. I was preaching over in Chesapeake, Virginia. We had outgrown the church and went into a tent in that revival. And one night it was really hot in the tent, and people responded fairly good, but it was so hot they were worn out a little bit. And I went to the car with Lori, and a man came up to me. He said, my name is Ricky Weathersby, is what he said to me. He said, could you pray for me? And in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, why didn't you just get prayed for when everybody else did? I'm tired. Okay, I didn't say it, but I thought it. He says to me, well, you might wonder why I'm asking you to pray for me here instead of in the tent. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I didn't want to tell everybody what my problem was. He said, I have full-blown HIV/AIDS. And very quickly, he said, I got it from intravenous drug use. Because most of the church judges everybody. All right? We judge people, but we ought to have the compassion of Christ instead. But he didn't know. I don't care if he got AIDS from a bad intravenous drug use or illicit sex, or he got it from a blood transfusion. I don't care how he got it. I'm going to tell you, he needed Jesus. And my wife and I, we prayed for him out by our car that night. I didn't think much about it. Went ahead, had a few more nights meetings, and I left there. I left straight from there and went to Honduras. And some of the guys from CBN, what's that guy's name? Bob, you'll remember Bob. Somebody back there I'm pointing at, they'll know who I'm talking. What? Bob Keller. All right, Bob used to be like a floor supervisor or something for the TV show. He went down to video our crusade in Honduras. And when I picked him up at the airport, he's from the same church as Ricky Weathersby. When I get off, pick him up at the airport, he hands me an envelope. He said, "This is from Ricky." He said you would know what it meant. I open it up. In there is a report from the clinic. It has all of Ricky Weathersby's information, his address, all the stuff, and his blood type and everything. And at the bottom it said HIV positive. The next page I open up, same clinic, same vital signs, but at the bottom it says no HIV AIDS found. Now, why do I tell you that tonight? I tell you that because there's no cure for AIDS. There's no cure for corona. We don't have a vaccine, but we got a miracle. Are you hearing me? I don't care what they say. I'm here to tell you that what you need is Jesus. I want everybody to stand to your feet in this place. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. But I want you to listen to me. Take inventory of your life right now. You think about Mike Anderson. He came into that church. He was bound by dope, bound by alcohol, bound by perversion, bound by foul talk, foul thinking. He's bound. But I'm going to tell you what God did for him, he can do for anyone in this place. I don't care if you got big sin or little sin. You need to get rid of it tonight. Jesus is your answer tonight. In this building tonight, all over this building. If you're going to be honest, you need to listen to what God is saying to you right now. But how many in this building would say, "Preacher, I've got sin in my life"? I'm not asking if it's on the Ten Commandment list. I'm not asking if it's on the Galatians works of the flesh list. I'm not asking if it's in Revelation on the list that sends you to unquenchable fire. You know if you got sin in your life. If you got sin in your life and you want to get rid of it tonight, would you lift up your hand in the air in this place? Come on, I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Thank you, thank you. Anyone else tonight say, "I've got sin in my life and I want to get rid of it"? Come on. God's dealing with your heart. It's not about other people. You can put your hand down. I thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. If you're watching tonight by live stream, just indicate you need prayer right now. Come on. I'm telling you, God will touch you tonight. Now listen to me all over this building. Jesus said, "He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." I'm asking tonight if you got sin in your life and you want to get rid of it. I'm not going to ask you what it is. We're not trying to embarrass you, but you know Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You deny me, I will deny you." So if you got sin in your life and you want a fresh start, I'm asking you to come stand here facing me right now. Would you come? Come on, would you come? Have some guts. Come on. Come on. He'll set you free tonight. Come on, in the back, on the side, over here. Come on, would you come? You raise your hand. I'm asking you to just come stand with me right here. Come on, you're going to get your miracle tonight. You're going to be free from that burden of sin. Thank you, sir. Come on. Thank you for having courage. Thank you, sir. There's still about three others that raised their hand. Just excuse yourself. The people you're standing around, they probably already know that you're not everything that you think you are. Come on, they'll let you out. They'll be happy because God's going to touch you. Come on, is there anybody else? Father God, have mercy in the name of Jesus. How many of you need a miracle in this place tonight? Whether it's for your family, over a job, over a finances. I need a miracle tonight. Would you join me here in this altar? I'm going to pray with you. Come on, this is the night for miracles. Come on, if you need a miracle and you're watching online, just put the miracle that you need. We're going to pray over you in a little bit here. But if you need a miracle, come and stand down here. Come on, there's room right here in the middle. Come on. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's do something together right now all over this building. Come on, if you need a miracle, you come on. We're going to look at these names, and after we pray for the people here, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray out loud for you. Come on. So we're thankful that you're watching online. We're thankful that God's speaking to you, because miracles, we've said it ever since I was a kid. My dad said, there's no distance in prayer. There's no distance in prayer. Well, if that's true, then we need to believe it. I want you to lift up your hands all over this building, if you're physically able, as a sign of surrender. Everybody pray this with me. Some of you that are in your seat, you know you got sin in your life and you want to get rid of it. I'm asking you to pray with me. Everybody, while you're watching, I want you to pray. If you've got any sin in your life, I want you to pray this with me, but believe the prayer that you pray. Say this with me now. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, you're my miracle tonight. Thank you for giving me a fresh start, a new beginning. I don't want to ever be the same. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I repent of all my past. I repent of all my sin. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. I believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my miracle tonight. I'm never going to be the same. Just everybody thank Him right now, right now. Just thank Him right now. Come on, thank Him for the cross. Come on, lift up your hands and lift up your voice. I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the anointing tonight. Thank you, Lord, that I'm never going to be the same. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want everybody to look at me tonight. I want to pray for you, but I want you to do something tonight. I say it all the time. General prayers generally go unanswered, okay? Some of you come and say, I need a miracle. Well, what kind of miracle really do you need? What kind of job are you looking for? What kind of finance breakthrough do you need? What kind of torment do you need broke off your mind? What do you need to happen for your family? Pray like that. He said that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I want everybody to pray very specifically. And those online, I want you to pray too. We're going to call out your prayer request in a moment. But I want everybody to just pray right now individually. I want you to pray right now and ask the Lord to do something for you right now. This is the place for miracles. Come on, lift up your hands and just begin to pray. He said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Come on, if you're able, while you're listening, come on, lift up your hands and just believe the Lord right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we declare this to be the place of miracles. We declare this to be the place, Lord, that great things are happening, Lord, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to worship the Lord, and as they're singing, we're going to pray. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare this is the day of miracles. Father God, in the name of Jesus, devil, you take your hand off in the name of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord fill this life. Lord, you said these signs shall follow them that believe. In the name of Jesus, be loosed in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, protection around her family. Lord, that out of their very most inner being, help spring forth speedily in the name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, in the, I see tonight perfect love cast out all fear. I see there's something going on that angels are keeping charge over you. And I see that even as you sleep, the angels are protecting you and the angels are moving on your behalf. Be sure that they will minister unto you the air of salvation. They are going to bring what you need. Get ready to receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now in Jesus' name. Lord, miracles begin to happen. Lord, every financial need is met tonight in the name of Jesus. Every breakthrough comes tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the heavens be open tonight. Come on, God's not done blessing you tonight in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church, I need you to pray a little bolder. I want you to pray a little stronger in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Come on, I believe he's turning your bad into something good today in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, he's renewing you tonight. He's refreshing you tonight. He's reviving you tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, out of his belly flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every thought that has been contrary to the word of God, we bring it into captivity now in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I see the things that have been weighing on you, the things that have been pushing you, and the things that have been pressing on you. But the Lord tonight is breaking those off. The chains are being broke off, and the pressure is being lifted because of the peace and the joy that comes only by the Holy Ghost. Receive now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. In the name of Jesus, receive. Come on, what he's begun in you, he's wanting to continue. Miracles happen now in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, right now. That's God moving right there. Right there. Hallelujah. You're never too dead for a resurrection. You thought it was too late, but I'm going to tell you, he's right on time tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Miracle working power of God. Receive in the name of Jesus. Lord, miracles tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the desires of his heart come to pass. Lord, those that are here tonight, Lord, let the glory fill their lives. Let miracles begin to happen, Lord, that our sons and our daughters would prophesy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, move now. Receive. Receive. Let there be an impartation tonight in the name of Jesus. Let there be a breakthrough tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, anyone here in pain, the pain has got to go now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What's been destroyed, restore. Jobs, Lord, open. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Where it looks like nothing's happening, Lord, let there be breakthrough tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Many are written on Facebook tonight, those are watching live. Teresa Harden. These are all praying for miracles right now for Teresa, for Janet Cherry, in the name of Jesus, for the supernatural God to visit her, for Janet Cherry, for Brian Jernigan in Windsor tonight, Peyton Smith, Alan Scott, Eduardo Zarita, Matthew Mazel, Cynthia Gerganis, Tony Ebner, Brianna Nain, Velma Branch, miracle. Tony Logston, Paul Baker, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Randy Williams, Terry Blevins, Lily Wilder, Phyllis Davidson, hallelujah. Margaret Speller, asking for healing for both eyes to be clear sight in Jesus' name, Chris Parrish, Cynthia Jones, Janet Helms, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Touch them right now. Kathy Miller, Rose Granado Garcia, Linda Spivey, and Elizabeth City. Lear and Ma up in Connecticut.
Hallelujah.
Tiffany Liverman. Kalamisha Drake. Brenda Harris. Chris Wersing. Karen Rawlinson. Deborah Bryant. Jane Rawlinson. Father, right now, all of these names, God. Father, you know every need before they even ask. But we agree, Lord, because your word says, if any two shall agree touching any one thing, that it's a done deal. So we believe you tonight, God, for those that are online, those that didn't even place a comment, those, God, that didn't even write it down. We ask you to visit them supernaturally, God, in the name of Jesus. We break every stronghold in the name of Jesus. We speak peace. In Jesus' name, we speak healing. Jehovah Rapha is your name tonight, Lord. Jehovah Rapha is your name tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, tonight I just feel there's somebody else needs to come up here and pray that has a special unction to pray for miracles. Come on, will you do that right now? We're not done. God's still touching people. Somebody feels the Lord wants them to pray for others to receive miracles. Just step right up here. And I feel there's somebody here that has just a special unction to do that right now. Come on, you're going to pray for somebody else to receive miracles. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come here.
My daughter spent $29,000 trying to have a baby. It hasn't worked. God can do it.
Yep. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray right now, Lord, whatever is hindering that, we speak a miracle now. Lord, the working of miracles, that's what we've been desiring, Lord. The best gift. Let the gifts flow. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive, receive, receive. Money can't buy it, but Lord, the gift of God is free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to have you pray. I want everybody right now, she's going to pray, but I want everybody, while she's praying, you're going to put your hand on yourself too. Because Lori and I, we know, listen, we've been talking about this. They're not finding any way to get rid of corona, all right? It's everywhere. So what do we need? We need healing. We need the gifts of healing. That's weird. We need the gifts of healing. We need miracles, gift of miracles. The church should shine during this. The church should not go downhill, but we should shine during this. So while she's praying, believe the Lord's going to move on you with the gifts. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, dear God. Lord, we call upon you tonight because you are the one who worked miracles in our life today. But, oh God, we know there are hindrances in our life, oh God, that will hinder our miracles. Oh, Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that every hindrance be asanta. Siko koronobo sanda. Shamamama haladadeke siko maranobo sanda. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray for every miracle heart tonight, oh God, that needs a miracle, crying out for a miracle. Oh God, we ask right now that you deliver, oh God, because you are our deliverer. Bring forth these miracles that each and every one is praying and asking for, oh God. I pray, Father, for the miracle of healing. We pray for right now healing, oh God. Instant healing right now. Divine healing, spiritual healing. Physical healing, mental healing, oh God. We say ke kokororobo sanda. Shalada basatai kishi kokororobo sanda. Alarobo sanda. Lord, we pray that you open up that womb of that daughter, oh God, who's been trying everything that she knows, oh God. But we know right now, Lord, that you are the giver of life. So, Father, we pray right now that you open up her womb a shot time. Let life come into that womb in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the giver of life. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you right now for our miracle. We thank you, Father. We praise you for our miracle. We're not just going to ask you, but we're going to thank you, oh, God. We're going to thank you in advance as we receive in the mighty name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And we thank you and give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Everybody lift up your hands and just thank him. Lift up your hands and just thank him for the miracle. Thank him for what you prayed for. Thank him that it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, we curse Corona in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the church operate in the gifts. Lord, the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing, Lord. We need them in this hour. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and worship the Lord with us. Come on, just begin to worship the Lord.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings. The heavens above, the valleys below, with the breath of your the treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hands. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me.
To the Lord. Come on, tell him. Listen, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by a roadside begging. And you know what, Jesus, listen, he made his way. People told him, shut up, sit down. Don't bother him. He's passing through. And when Jesus, who's omniscient, knew everything, he knew Bartimaeus was blind. But you know what he said? What would you have of me? Come on, you fill out the check. You tell the Lord what you need. You tell the Lord if it's a pancreas, if it's a heart, if it's a stomach, if it's a migraine, if it's financial things, if it's healing in your marriage. You tell the Lord what you need tonight. Come on, sing it again. He's our first. He's our last. He's everything. Come on, sing it again. Sing it again. You are my first. Hallelujah.
And you are my first. You are my last. You are my future and my past.
Come on, worship him. Put your hands together for the Lord tonight. He's the first. He's the last. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Come on. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I ordained things in your life. Father, thank you for ordaining things in our lives, God. Blessing, miracles, peace, restoration, healing, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for all that you are. All that you are. Thank you, God, for bringing revival to our hearts tonight. Thank you for touching an online audience, God. We bless them. In the name of Jesus, we bless them. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Sing it, guys. God bless you as you go. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Don't come alone. Bring someone with you, would you? God bless you.